We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And rejoining us after a fairly long absence, a Bay Area bred Warriors expert, ESPN's Golden State specialist, and a guy who absolutely never wanted to trade Klay Thompson.
Never.
Mr. Ethan Sherwood Strauss. How's it going, Ethan?
It's going okay. I just went on a run, so if I sound a little loopy or out of it, I'm not one of those people who runs well, you know? This does feel like parts of my soul were taken out of my body. I don't understand the people who share their Nike running stats on social media. I would sooner pull a Draymond Green on Snapchat than share my shame like that, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not one of the people who runs at all. I mean, the fact that you've ran today in any way not only impresses me, I'm a little bit jealous and resentful, man. I'm just going to tell you that up front.
Well, it's only the reverse of bears building up fat for their hibernation. You know, the NBA season is going to get kicking. I'm going to be on the road. They do not have many healthy eating options. Plus, it's just not the healthiest lifestyle. So I'm just trying to get in a little bit of exercise before the inevitable collapse.
What you don't know is only because he's the most competitive person on earth and not to be outdone. Scotty is currently running around our studio right now just to outdo you. Yeah, I mean, that's how we roll, Ethan.
Silently.
And I've uploaded all the stats, too, if you want to see how much faster I am.
Immediately. That's how we roll, man. What?
I cannot believe those people. I just don't understand the impulse. I don't get it.
I'm going to start faking them and then putting them up there. I tell you what, man, it's been forever, and I have so much Warriors ground I want to cover with you. Forgive the pun, even though it was done on purpose. And I'm going to start with some off-season additions not named Durant. And let me begin this way. David West, how does he help this team?
I think he's a viable backup center. He's not going to give you any rim protection. We don't know how much gas is in the tank, to use the cliche, but I don't think that's his main function here. I think the main function he has... Wait, can I curse? What are the rules?
Immediately,
on
please.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I think the main function he has is someone to tell Draymond to shut the f*** up, / shut the f*** up, or he'll beat your ass. They have not had a bulwark against Draymond. They do not have anybody even approaching anything close to an enforcer type or a veteran to calm him down. So that is why they got him. That's a huge factor.
I love that. Is that why him over most Spades? Because it looked like the money was about the same.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a huge factor. Not that Mo is shy about mixing it up, but Mo is less the responsible veteran, much as I love him.
So can he do it? I mean, will Draymond listen to David West? I mean, does he have that kind of pull or that kind of intimidating factor?
That would be the hope. I know nothing about their dynamic. I don't know David West. I probably asked him one question over the years after the game where the Pacers beat the Warriors a few years ago at Oracle. I don't know him. So I think that's the hope. But I just have no idea. It's so hard to know how two human beings are going to interact over the course of a season.
All right, do you know what David West's running stats are like on social media? Have you been able to follow that up at all? Or
I think they'd be a little disappointing based on the time he was put on to Ray Allen when the Heat went small in the playoffs. And I saw him chasing Ray Allen, or at least trying to. So I think he would probably keep that off social media.
I think this is probably in the same vein, but let me ask you anyways. Zaza Pachulia, I love the name, by the way. And I have some past with Zaza Pachulia. He was on a couple of my fantasy basketball teams.
No. Which name do you prefer, Zaza Pachulia or Zarko Chabarkaba? I mean, which is the preference there for Warriors, great Warriors name?
Zarko, only because I feel like I have such a past with him, and he always seemed to be smiling for absolutely no reason every time they asked him a question. So I've got a soft spot in my heart for old Zarko.
I had a fake ID back in college. It looked exactly like Zarko Chabarkaba. But moving on. You know, that's a digression.
That is a terrible picture, Ethan. My condolences, man. That's really tough. Here's
it works.
How's this for a super random reference for those who, I mean, I can't imagine anybody remembers it, but there was a movie starring Bill Murray called Scrooged. And the ghost from Christmas Past, I think, was a cab driver who I always thought looked exactly like Zarko Chabarkaba. But I don't want to get sucked down a Zarko rabbit hole.
Maybe I had the fake ID of the actor.
It's possible. You know what I mean? I thought maybe you were the actor. But to actually talk about Zaza is one of the reasons they brought him on board is that similar type of toughness. What's his ultimate addition? Why are they focusing on him?
Well, they need somebody to soak up the center minutes. And even if he's not a rim protector, he at least won't get pushed around since he's a big, strong guy. Now, he is limited offensively, even though he is a savvy passer. He's a little bit like Bogut in that respect. I expect him to do a lot of what Bogut did offensively with those ball screens. So he fits right into that role. So that was a great addition made on the cheap. And even if they still have that dearth of rim protection, you can't complain. Getting a starting center at that price, that's damn good.
Do refs focus as much on his moving screens then as they did on Bogut, or do you think he'll get kind of halfway through the season before people start keying on that?
I think we're about to find out. I mean, how many people would have been talking about Bogut's illegal screens if he was still back in Milwaukee, right? I mean, the spotlight changes the conversation quite a bit, so we'll just have to see how it progresses.
I think the whole moving screen thing has drove me crazy. It's like saying that the Warriors were traveling occasionally when going to the hole. That happens with every single team, and it just depends on how you look at it. But let me ask you another follow-up on Zaza. Right now, I mean, Bogut's obviously a better player over their career, and I really miss Bogut. I loved having him on the team.
Yeah.
But looking at where they are right now, who is a better addition for the Warriors, Zaza Pachulia or Andrew Bogut?
I think Bogut has a higher ceiling, but Zaza is more dependable.
Huh.
With Bogut, you never really knew what you were going to get. I think the analogy I've made is, you know, there are boom and bust running backs versus consistent running backs.
Sure.
Where, you know, you'll get that 3.9 yards nearly every time from the consistent running back. And then the boom and bust running back will give you, you know, a bunch of losses and then a 50-yard gain every now and again. You know, sometimes Bogut came out firing and he was brilliant and he was shutting down the paint and he was energized, and other times he just wasn't there at all. And I think that was frustrating to not know exactly what you're getting. Obviously health was a factor in that. So I just think one guy is more dependable, more stable. I think if I had to choose though, I would still give the edge to Bogut just because of the dearth of rim protection, you know? As far as which guy they could have more use for in a vacuum, especially without Festus Ezeli. So those are my thoughts on the big Bogut versus Zaza question, which isn't really even a question because they had to get rid of Bogut in order to add Durant.
No, it was what it was. Did Bogut ever play the Draymond shut the f*** up and play role before he left?
From what I heard, no. From what I heard, it was more he just wouldn't respond when Draymond was mad at him, and that was that.
All right. How about here, first an admission and then a question. There are periods of my NBA fandom where I loved JaVale McGee. I thought he was like this, you know, huge upside guy, had all this athleticism. I remember being impressed with some dunks he had in summer league. And then there's other moments when I'm watching, you know, Shaqting a Fool, where I think he is a gigantic loser who probably doesn't deserve to be on an NBA roster. Does he have a real shot at making this team? Why are the Warriors looking at JaVale?
I think he has a definite shot at making the team, and Warriors officials were working with him at the Wasserman gym down in LA, as actually Westbrook was doing his workouts, and a bunch of Thunder people were with Westbrook right before he signed. You know, all the Wasserman clients use that gym down there. I think it might be in Santa Monica. I can't quite remember. So they're working on him. They want to incorporate him, but this is the season for optimism that won't be validated later on. I remember hearing last year about how Jason Thompson had quite the 3-point stroke in training camp last offseason. So he has a great shot at making the roster because he fulfills a need. He is in shape from what I've heard. I cannot tell you anything beyond that. I think I don't want to invest too much optimism in JaVale McGee.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of guy with his attitude and his track record has ever kind of turned it around in an NBA career? I can't really think of one other than maybe Dennis Rodman sort of pulling it all together during the Chicago years and
yeah,
San Antonio.
Yeah, but he was always such a superior player to JaVale. And JaVale, by all accounts, isn't a stupid guy. He's a very smart guy. He's just a very odd guy.
Right.
And someone whose priorities by reputation aren't in line with basketball. Now, again, he's another person I don't know him. I have I don't have that kind of contact with him, but that's just the rap on him.
What seems like if he just stopped trying to be something he isn't, if he just if he was like a homeless man's Ben Wallace, just recognize that you're a giant dude who can, you know, plant yourself between your opponent and the basket and use the size to your advantage. Stop trying to dunk on every play. Stop trying to be fancy. He can definitely be an asset, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's still talented. I haven't looked up his age in a while, but he's 30. Yes, that's his
age.
Sounds
about right. Yeah,
he's not. He shouldn't be washed up at this point. So, I know the people representing him would lean on some of the injuries and have that explain why he hasn't been able to kick it into gear recently. But he does have all the tools. He indeed does.
Well, look, as a Washington Wizards fan who has been through JaVale McGee's career, I would just say get away from this guy as quickly as possible.
You know, I was going to give you Scotty about bringing up the Wizards, but that was actually remarkably topical. I take back my oh my god thing, man. That was off. You know, I don't want to get too far away from the Wasserman thing because I am really fascinated by it. Were you there? Did you actually watch them work out JaVale?
Oh, no, I was just hearing from people. I'm not going down to Los Angeles just to get a sneak peek at JaVale McGee. That's not on my summertime docket.
No, that's not the
tip-top of your list. Maybe that betrays a lack of commitment. I'm not sure.
I expect more from you, Ethan. What I was going to ask, and maybe you heard something on it, did Westbrook, and this assumes that the Durant signing had already been announced, but did Westbrook show any resentment to Golden State officials when he saw them down at the Wasserman gym?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about that. I think there's, you know what? This is going to sound sad and cynical. I think that in many ways that kind of stuff means less to these guys than it does to the fans.
Yeah.
I really think so. I think these guys are for the most part mercenaries who know the deal, and that fans often project a lot on these stars and like, Westbrook's going to be so mad at Durant. He's going to be so mad. And they know nothing about what those guys, what their dynamic is, if they're even friends in the first place, if Durant told Westbrook a year in advance that he was leaving, if this even just helps Westbrook leave later on, you know, after his contract's up, or gives him a good, they don't know any of that. And in my experience, most NBA players aren't friends, and most NBA players don't feel betrayed when a teammate leaves for more money. That's just how it tends to go.
I hate to say this, Ethan, but that made you sound a little sad and cynical. I mean, it just is what it is.
It's not cynical. It's just how it works. I mean, it's only cynical if you're projecting a bunch of stuff onto these guys that I guess is necessary for this whole thing to work, right? like sports is a business that can only function if people regard it as more than a business. But it is a business, and the people inside it definitely know that.
But I think it makes sense, too. I mean, I've worked with people who, if they left and for reasons that I didn't really believe in, I'd be pissed at them. I'd be sad that they would go.
So you would be pissed at a coworker if they had a better opportunity. Let's say they were getting paid more money to go elsewhere and they had fulfilled the duties of their contract, they didn't leave in the middle of their contract, you would be angry at a coworker for leaving for another company.
I'll weigh in there, and not to say that it is justified at all, but I'll give you a personal example. I lived with a best friend of mine for about a year, this guy named Kevin, and when our lease ultimately ran up, he'd fulfilled his obligation. I can still remember coming to me and saying, look, I got a job offer in San Diego, I gotta leave, and we ended up, you know, obviously having to split ways. I'm still very much friends with him, you know, everything's fine, but I was definitely resentful of that. I hated that, and I hated that I didn't know that he was thinking about it until he ultimately told me. And I think the best point you made, we don't know anything about what happened behind the scenes. Maybe Durant did tell him. Maybe this whole thing was above board. But if he didn't, right? Like if Durant said, hey, let's win this thing at some point before I leave, and then he bounces, I can see Westbrook being upset about that.
Yeah, it certainly might be true. But I think Westbrook's one of those guys where a lot of fans project a lot onto him because his face is just so evocative and he looks so angry, so people can place their emotions into it. But, you know, if you remember on social media, there was a contingent of people who were rooting for the Thunder against the Warriors, and they saw Durant and Westbrook as this good versus evil, and, you know, who were, you know, buddies who are going to unseat the Warriors. It was all a lie.
Right.
It was all a lie. I mean, whatever their bond, Durant didn't care enough about it to stay.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. Well, and I mean, of course we don't know, and how the hell could we? And the idea that we immediately assume that our emotions are their emotions is totally misplaced. Of course you're right. You know, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And let me recenter us on the Warriors with this question.
Sure.
The biggest criticism that I hear of the Warriors now following the addition of Durant is that their bench is nowhere near as deep as it used to be. And I said that at first when we lost Bogut and we lost all these pieces, right? But I was looking at the roster today. We still have the sixth man in Andre Iguodala. We still have the first guard off the bench in Sean Livingston. Let me just ask you straight out. Do you think our bench is weaker this year?
Yes. I would say yes, but there's a lot of uncertainty because we don't know what we'll get from the young guys. And yeah. I just said we, like I'm a member of the team, which is like a faux pas.
No, that was nice. I liked it immediately. Yeah, I was in.
Playing to the base. I didn't even mean to say it that way. But we don't know what the young guys will provide, I should say. Pat McCaw, which sounds dirty whenever I say that. I think that was in the lower right-hand, you know, caption of the Draymond Snapchat, possibly.
We'll believe it.
Yeah. But he looked fantastic in summer league. The average rookie is god-awful and isn't a net positive performer. But I really thought he did a good job of not disrupting the flow and adding some things. And Kerr said he could be a rotation player. So it's quite possible that he's pretty good and he gives them something, right? And then that really changes the dynamic. So I think the bench is probably worse, but might be better if some of these young guys give them something, perhaps Looney, I don't know. And I would also say, even though it's easy to seize upon that and say the bench is bad, the average NBA bench is bad. That's why it's the bench.
Sure.
That's kind of how it works. This bench, unlike other benches, has Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. So that's a pretty good starting point.
Well, and while the bench may be maybe not as deep as they would like, I think that this Warriors team should redefine the term bench, because the way that they're going to, I'm hoping, stagger the starters and mix them in with the quote-unquote bench unit, I almost see, like, if you have four All-Stars as your starters and you do it right, your bench will hopefully consist of some of those starters at the same time.
Yeah, and let me combine Scott's point with the next question, because my main concern with the bench, and it was true last year too, is bench scoring. Who the hell is going to lead this team off the bench and actually put points on the board when the starters are resting? But one of the possibilities, when I wanted to ask you if you think it will actually happen, is staggering, just like Scotty's saying, maybe have Clay play with that second unit a little bit more, or have Steph stay on the floor when everyone else sits. Do you see that happening? How do you anticipate them dealing with the scoring problem?
Yeah, I definitely anticipate more staggering. There isn't going to be the Mark Jackson hockey substitution tactic, considering the talent, and this is a team that's smart enough to know that staggering works, and they'll definitely use it. So that's how I see it going. I wish I had something more illuminating to say. I thought that was a very good point, that part of what will compensate for the lack of bench depth is the stagger, but I find that to be so.
Sure. How about give me some worry? So this offseason has been nothing but bright, and for a very good reason. But when you look at this team going into next year, what worries you about the roster?
Chemistry. Just chemistry. And that's often very vague, and people say I'm an alarmist when I say it. But you know what? Winning definitely puts a nice gloss on whatever you're doing. Bill Parcells said it was the ultimate deodorant, and that's not just an analogy that, or a metaphor that's coming to mind because I ran 5-something miles and I'm in my own stink and my wife just opened the door and came home and waved her hand in the air. But, you know, if you have that circumstance where a player is trying to get physical with his coach and the team has to rush in and prevent it from happening, on a losing team, that becomes the example of everything that's wrong,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
Since they won that game and since they win, not so. But I think when you see the incidents that Draymond has been getting caught up in, and none of them on their own are that bad, and they all have their various explanations as their own discrete events, but you have to have a little bit of concern there. You definitely do. And so I think that dynamic is worth watching.
What happened? I will skip to that question because I was going to ask you about Draymond and his dick kicks and his adventurous offseason. Is this something that just was happenstance? It happened to happen now, but could have happened at any other point. Is Draymond changing? You know, is his personality tending towards getting in trouble, becoming a little bit more of an issue? Where the hell did this stuff come from, and how much does it concern you?
Well, you'll just have to read my upcoming article.
Nice plug.
Yeah. It's a great discussion piece. It's something I've talked about with Nate Duncan quite a bit, where we don't know. It's just out of the realm of basketball. So it's hard to know how much someone's off-court behavior, and I guess a little bit on-court with the suspension-worthy flails and all that, how much that matters. But I will say, when people say he's young, the dude's 26.
Right.
Not that young. He's kind of got to get this into gear. And I hate saying it because then I sound like some sort of shock radio, sports talk radio guy telling a player or an athlete that he needs to mature. But, I mean, it's getting to the point where he's at a certain level. He is great. He is – I do believe he's a top 10 player. And he has a lot of responsibility. And for the sake of an operation this big – he has to comport himself better going forward, I would believe.
I couldn't agree with you more. And what the kind of interesting dichotomy is, you know, that there's no doubt he's gotten far better as a player physically. But I think you can also make an argument that he's made a mental regression. I mean, I remember Mark Jackson saying that there's no question in his mind, even when Draymond was a rookie, that Draymond had a future in coaching. That he was the smartest player he'd ever coached, that he always saw the game five steps ahead, you know?
None of that's any different. I mean, he remains a brilliant player. He sees the game so well. He can break down tape incredibly well by all accounts. You know, that aspect has not changed. It's everything. It's all the other stuff.
Well, you don't think, for example, when he lost his cool, may or may not have purposely hit LeBron in the balls and then cost himself or cost his team his presence in what should have been a championship closeout, that doesn't illustrate, you know, the type of mindset it requires to become a coach, right? I mean, that's someone who is dealing with emotion, not intelligence.
I just remember at Team USA minicamp in Vegas this summer, I asked him if he thought he needed the change, and he shrugged and he said,
yeah,
being me got me here.
Huh, yeah, he's right.
And he said that, and he was about to go on one of those majestic, chest-puffed-out Draymond Green rants, and then somebody jumped in with some question about how cool it was to be the Team USA experience, and I'm just, oh, my God. It was about to be really interesting. The defiance of being me got me here. But the issue is, even though being me got me here, he's not a second-round pick anymore.
Right.
He's not a role player. So, yes, being you gets you into a certain position. That's true. But I think that you need to evolve a little bit if you have the amount of power he does in this particular situation.
I also don't remember him having any of these type of incidents before last year. So when he says being me, I'm just not sure that last year just seemed different for Draymond than in years past.
Well, I think what happened, and now I'm stepping on the article that I'm coming out with, but a lot of it might have been that you have Kerr go away for a while with his health issue. There isn't a lot of structure in his absence, and they won a lot. So from Draymond's point of view,
right,
why does he need any of that? And from Draymond's point of view, we can say that he screwed up the finals by getting himself suspended. But if you're seeing things from his perspective, and athletes tend to see things from their perspective quite clearly because they're often surrounded by a bunch of people who tell them everything they want to hear. From his perspective, it wasn't fair that he got suspended and nobody else showed up in game 7. Literally nobody else did, yep. Really. I mean, nobody else had a good game other than Draymond on the entire roster. So that's probably his view of things.
And then that's fair. And you pinpointed the exact right example, right? During the regular season, he tries to fight disabled Kerr, and they win that game anyways. You know, so
yep.
I mean, why the hell would he change his mentality if it's leading to wins and finals appearances?
Oh, and then he got mad at people for talking about it,
right,
and for reporting it, and for Lisa Salter saying it. And then he got mad at me, and and said it was cowardly, and I don't understand how it's. I don't understand. I mean, I'll admit to being a coward. I just didn't understand that line of argument. I just didn't understand that aspect of it.
Oh, push us in a different direction. You wrote an excellent article last year about how Nike screwed up with Steph and how Under Armour has made billions of dollars because of that screw up and really capitalizing on Steph's rising star. I want to use that for this question. Do you think that Nike played any role, however slight, in aiming Kevin Durant towards Golden State?
Yes.
Why?
Well, for one, at Kevin Durant's press conference, there was an entire Nike contingent in the left-hand corner of the audience, including Lynn Merritt, the main power broker at Nike, Chuck Terrell, Durant's Nike guy, and one Draymond Green, who is very much involved in Nike doings and I think is quite happy to have even more access to that power. Nike wanted this. This was something that they were popping champagne bottles over. To what degree they influenced Kevin Durant's mind, I can't answer that question for you. I just know that a massive corporation with a great degree of power badly wanted this outcome, and that could not have hurt.
I guess that makes sense. So does this is an ignorant question. You pointed out how much money Nike pulls in. We're talking about a $1 billion industry, but literally
$100 billion market.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that kind of a mogul would have and who knows how much Kevin Durant bowed to it, but that kind of a mogul would literally affect a player's decision on where the hell he wanted to play.
Well, they have a lot of sway as far as how much promotion they're going to give you. And everybody wants to be the guy.
Sure.
Everybody wants to be the guy. That's the Jordan model. That's what it set up. Jordan was the guy. He was the face of Nike. All of these guys at Nike who are in the signature shoe business want to be the face.
Right.
And that is really more what they're leveraging than the money. It's the cultural
sense. Yeah. So, I mean, to the type of thing where, like, hey, Durant, play anywhere you want. But hey, if you happen to be playing for the Warriors, we can see your face being on multiple billboards. I mean, those kind of insinuations, you mean?
Yeah, and also Durant's stock was falling for a couple of years. His shoe sales were declining. For them, this was just salvation, and it's a salvo at Under Armour because suddenly you have people in the Bay Area who aren't saying, I'm going to get Steph's shoe. They're choosing between getting Steph's shoe versus getting Durant's shoe. He went right into Steph's territory. So, you know, I could see how this could come back to bite them. Well, because people tend to like the little guy.
Yep.
Even if you put a whole bunch of backing behind Durant, you put out those shoes and sneakerheads love it. This industry is so much of it is determined by what kids want. And little kids look at Kevin Durant and they don't see themselves.
Yeah.
They don't see that's a me. They don't see it. That's why his shoe sales have declined for 2 years, I would believe.
Huh.
The credit and the glory and the kids are going to go with the little guy. So as long as Steph continues to play at a great level, this could help his relevance going into the future. But for now, this would seem to be a massive coup for Nike, and it's something that Under Armour is not happy about.
I love that stuff. I'm just so fascinated by the way that money affects the game and people's personal decisions. You know, I want to get your predictions on next year, but I also want to do it in my normal kind of degenerate gambling lens. So what I want to do is give you a series of over-unders. For those who aren't familiar with it, I give you, you know, give you a concept, give you a number associated with the concept. You tell me it'll be over-under. Let me start this way. Wins next year for the Golden State Warriors. The Vegas line has them at 66.5. What do you think, Ethan? Over or under?
Oh, man, they said it perfectly, didn't they?
I'll go over.
I'll go over. I don't feel good about it. I'd feel good about it if they had if I wasn't confident in how they'll try to tamp down on another 73-win run and how Kerr will try to throw his body in front of that situation and start throwing games. But hey, the league, I don't think in general got better. And I remember this conversation last year, they won 67 and the assumption was, well, they're not going to win more games than that. That's the high watermark. There's a similar conversation going on right now. which I think is valid because who wins 73 games, they won't be as motivated. But hey, they traded Harrison Barnes. They swapped out Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant.
Right.
I mean, this is a better basketball team. So, so in theory, they should do better than 67. I'll go over.
What I like most about the question, though, is the idea that I think we would all agree that their range is somewhere in the, in, I don't know, maybe 62 at a low mark to, I'll say 73 again as a high mark, which means most of the time, you know, 62 to 73 times of the year, I'm going to go to bed happy after a Warriors win.
I guess that's a good way to view it.
I was actually going to ask you, Ethan, over under on how many times Scotty went to bed happy, but we now know, man, it's going to be over. You know, we're on it.
Yeah, there we go.
How about all-stars on the team? I put the number at 2.5. How many Warrior all-stars will we see this year?
Three. I'll go over. I'll go over. We'll get so much exposure. They'll be on TV all the time. That's going to be a leg up in voting. I would go over.
All right. How about team points per game? The Warriors were first in the NBA out of the 30 teams last year at 114. I keep the number the same. How many do you think they score?
Yeah, I've got to lean on Durant replacing Harrison Barnes. I got to ramp up the points.
You are Mr. Optimistic. Let's see if that's true on the defensive end.
Not as optimistic.
There you go. Yeah. Opponents' points per game last year were 104. Over or under?
I'll go under. Yeah, I'll go under.
I agree with that. How about fights involving both or either David West, Zaza Pachulia combined, since they're both here for toughness purposes? I put that number at 6.5. What do you think? We're going to see more or less fights than that?
I think fights don't happen that often. I'd have to go under on that.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I think that line is pretty high, man.
They're bringing these guys in to punk Draymond and everybody else. I thought maybe we'd get some, how about if we incorporate the hold me backs moment? You know, so not.
Oh, okay, then that'd be over.
Yeah, all right, see, the number was perfectly set. How about years for Kevin Durant? We all know, you know, 2-year deal, but he's got a 1 year out. And we also learned that the salary cap number might not be quite as high as we thought it was going to be next year. I put the years in Golden State for Kevin Durant at 1.5, over or under.
I wouldn't sneeze at disaster possibly happening. I'll go over on that. But, you know, I think it's always tricky. I think these guys, they go to a new location, there might be an expectation that it'll solve all of their problems, and then it turns out it doesn't, and that's a difficult situation to manage. But hey, as we talked about earlier, Nike has him here for a reason. You can't defy Nike.
Yeah, and that's real deal, especially if he wants to get to the height of that mountain that we were just talking about. How about dick kicks or anything involving other players for dicks with Draymond Green? I put the number at 2.0. What do you think?
I'm going to go over because I think we're in an era.
David West isn't doing his job, huh?
No, I think that we're in an era where with slow motion, like now we're analyzing everything that happens, like the Zapruder film, and there are probably so many penis involving incidents over the year that we used to miss in the 90s. You know, in the 90s, how many dicks did John Stockton punch? I would venture 341.
That's, you mean, how many Pat McCaws he punched? Yeah, no.
I'll go over.
All right. How about championships with Kevin Durant in a Golden State Warriors jersey? I put the number at 2.5.
2.5. I will go, you know what? I will go under. I think that this will be an incredible, short-lived, just crazy time, but I don't know if it will sustain. It's almost too decadent. It's almost too much.
How many do you think they will win?
I was going to go with two.
Yeah, okay. Leave it to our newfound sense of optimism where that sounds disappointing. You know,
yeah.
10 years ago, I would have killed for one championship, man. So, you know, it's a whole new world, right?
I mean, two championships, that's a pretty good outcome. So, but hey, I'll cap it at that.
Well, you realize after what we saw last year, just how much every single thing has to go right in order for a team to win a championship. And so that's where you think, you know, two sounds like the right number.
And we saw with Miami's first effort at a super team that things don't necessarily come together that first year. It takes a little while for them to figure it out, right?
They walked away with two.
Right.
Coming out of a very weak conference. So, I think it might sound modest given the expectations, but people get caught up in a sense that probability is inevitability. And of course, this team's going to win. And it was assumed the Warriors were going to win last season. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, especially with the injury factor.
Give me a prediction focus on this season alone. Who plays in the finals and who walks away with the trophy?
I mean, it's going to be the same finals in all likelihood, right?
Yeah, that's going to be my guess.
And I would guess at this point, months and months away, that the Warriors will walk away from the trophy. But I feel like everybody is in that guess, and they're figuring Warriors or Cavs, and that's just it's not exactly breaking any new ground there.
How about Finals MVP?
Good question. Steph's got to get one, doesn't he?
Do you think so? Especially after all the criticism he's getting.
I mean, it would have been weird. It would have been weird if they actually had won that Game 7, because then who gets the Finals MVP?
Sure.
And then people are still probably bitching about how he hasn't gotten one. I would say he's going to get his first one. I would say he's going to get the monkey off his back.
I love it.
That would be my guess.
All right. Let me whisk us in a different direction. I want to try a segment that we've only done once, but we've had a great response on. I generally love. It's called You've Got Hate Mail. You'll be surprised, Ethan. Not everybody loves us. We get positive feedback, but we get some negative feedback too, and the negative is way more entertaining.
And usually directed at Bram.
Almost exclusively directed at me, and this seems to not be an exception. So here's the idea. I'm going to read you a piece of hate mail that was sent in to us, and ultimately going to ask you to guess the person's age, profession, and then I want you to use your professional skill set and grade the letter on its own. You know, give us a letter grade.
Sure.
Based on how well it's written and how nasty it is.
All right.
First, a little bit of background. We had Anthony Slater on last week, and I spent the first 15 minutes asking him stuff about his own background, where he was from, those kind of things, and you'll see why that's important in a second.
No, nothing about his hair.
I didn't ask anything about the hair.
He's a wonderful coif. I haven't seen him in months, but anyway, you were saying.
Continue. All right, so yeah, here is the hate mail. Dear he who has no last name, I like the pod, love the Warriors, and hate your face. Let me just pause for a second. How does this guy know what my face is? That kind of bothers me. Anyways, back to the letter itself. I've been listening for about a year and enjoy the interviews. They can be fun, and your questions normally don't make me want to shit on the floor.
Huh.
Last week's Anthony Slater interview was floor shit. He had great KD info, but you spent the first 20 minutes asking about nothing. Seriously, nothing. I care about where you grew up about as much as I care about whether you've ever named a dog turd. Please don't ever really ask boring questions anymore. Gracefully yours, Peter Lemongello. Take me through it, man. How old is this guy?
Peter Lemongello?
Jello, yes.
Lemongello. I'm assuming that's a fake name.
I'm going to go fake. I'm going to go fake. You know,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? But I assume that Mr. Lemongello is not actually real.
Yeah.
If it is, it's a hell of a name.
That's factually accurate. So what I'm hoping you can give us is your guess at this guy's age, what he does for a living, and then grade it for me.
I'm going to guess that he is a 25-year-old angler. I think he's an angler.
All right.
I don't know. Look, that's just the first thing that came to mind.
Yep.
Not especially well socialized. This idea that an argument would make you want to I don't quite understand that. I don't think I've ever had that reaction to a point I disagreed with. So I'm going to give that grade a C.
All right.
C.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not an angler, so maybe.
No, that's fair. I will tell you, I disagreed with him on a few things as well. One, I actually really would care if somebody was naming dog turds. That's the type of thing that would, like, I would want to know a lot about.
Somebody,
you know, that's
why would somebody do that?
That's exactly right. And how many times had they done it? What kind of names were they using? That type of stuff I'd know. I also I'm a little concerned that he mentioned my face, since this is not a video podcast. You know, although.
Yeah.
To be fair, that could have been shot at you, Scotty. I mean, you don't say your last name on this show either.
No, that's definitely all against you. I mean,
Well, I tell you what, Ethan. So like I said, I started off with all these questions with him and didn't even ask him about his hair. That I do with a lot of people, just to kind of get them used to talking and kind of open them up. But apparently, they're boring. Let me ask you a new question, right? And before you actually answer it, tell me whether or not you think it's a solid one. You know, like if I was the first time I ever interviewed you, would you find this question entertaining? Has there ever been a moment in your career where you couldn't believe you were getting paid to do your job?
Yes.
Okay. And now, good question. I mean, did that fire you up to answer it or not so much?
I think that's a good question.
Thanks, man.
I like that question.
What's the answer?
One of them would have been that Oklahoma City game that we referenced, the locker room incident. But that moment where it was intercepted, the pass was intercepted. It was that Kevin Durant pass off his back foot. You know what I'm talking about,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
Off his back foot, and then it was tapped towards the sideline, and we're sitting. Anthony was probably there. We're sitting courtside for it, and the ball is going to bounce towards us out of bounds. And I don't know how. Draymond slipped. I was sure it was going out of bounds, and somehow he got up and hauled his ass over, racing towards us and saved that thing. And that led to Andre getting fouled and the free throws and everything else. But that moment and just the game itself, it was this isn't bad. There are worse jobs than this one.
Scotty, I didn't let you grade the hate mail. Do you have anything for it?
I take it from a C to a B because it was directed at you.
Well, we don't know that. Again, I feel like that's an assumption we're all making. And Ethan, a follow-up, the other side to that coin. What's the most embarrassing moment you've had in your career as a sports writer?
Well, when I first started out, I didn't know anything about anything. And I just might have, maybe, I'm not saying I did this, I might have taken a camera phone picture of the Keith Smart whiteboard, which is very much something, if I had done it, would get you banished from the profession for forever. And someone who noticed was kind enough to tell me that and dress me down for it. Had I done it, if I had done it, that's what happened.
Was that person who may or may not have dressed you down for it Keith Smart?
No, I don't think Keith Smart was paying a lot of attention in general.
Fair enough. Ethan, thank you, man. I know this is your off season. I'm sure this is your vacation. We know you're spending it getting in shape. So we really appreciate you lending us some of your time, man. It's always crazy fun having you on.
Thanks so much, guys. You guys take care.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Where can we find you? For those who'd like to hear more Ethan Sherwood Strauss takes, where should they look?
At Sherwood Strauss is the Twitter feed, and on ESPN, I will be writing articles coming up this season.
Badass. We're already looking forward to the Draymond one, man.
We'll see. All right. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy, Ethan. It really is big fun having that guy on, though.
No, it's always a good time. A lot of good insights, good comedy.
Dropped a couple of F-bombs this time, which you know fires me. I know that's more work for you, but it definitely fires me up, man. Huge fun, you guys. True every week, certainly true this week. If you have any takes, you're looking for us, you can reach out and hit us up at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account remains at Warriors Huddle. We are still on warriorsworld.net, and we're on a bunch of iTunes and other podcasting services where you can get out there and give us a rating. I'm sure that you have no idea why I keep bringing it up. Here's why. It means the world to us and makes a big difference about our, at least as far as how high up we appear on the iTunes rating. So get out there and give us a 5-star if you have any time to do it. We really appreciate you guys joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good.